Good morning, and welcome to Readers Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today is Wednesday, July 31st, 2019. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we are in the chapter We Agnostics. We're reading on page 44, the third paragraph that begins with, "But it isn't so difficult," commenting just on that one paragraph today. Today's readers are Bernie W. for the 12 Steps, Tani K. for the 12 Traditions, Penny L. C., Kara L., Kathy Jo P., and we'll have Janice P. M. as our newcomer greeter and Reggie O. doing announcements at the end of the meeting. Please stay tuned for that. The reference number for the 10 a.m. meeting yesterday, Tuesday, July 30th, is 13217. That's 13,217. And the reference number for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Wednesday, July 31st, is 13219. That's 13,219. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Bernie W. to read the 12 steps.
Hi, this is Bernie W. from Pennsylvania, gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. One, we admit it, we were powerless over food and that our lives have become unmanageable. Two, came to believe in a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all the people we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and for the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service.
Okay. Thank you very much, Bernie W. And I will now ask Tani K. to please read the 12 traditions.
Hi, good morning. Connie K. from Ohio, compulsive overeater. 12 traditions of overeaters. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these principles, of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Have a wonderful day, and thank you for letting me do service.
Thank you very much, Honey Kay. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the big book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using star 1, please. Today, we resume our study of the big book, and we are in the chapter We Agnostics on page 44 and reading and commenting on the third paragraph. And I will ask Penny L.C. to please begin reading.
Good morning, Elaine. Thank you for your service, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington, and this is the big book. But it isn't so difficult. About half our original fellowship were exactly that type. At first, some of us tried to avoid the issue, hoping against hope we were not true alcoholics. But after a while, we had to face the fact that we must find a spiritual basis of life or else. Perhaps it is going to be that way with you. But cheer up. Something like half of us thought we were atheists or agnostics. Our experience shows that you need not be disconcerted. I just want to refer back to the paragraph before just to clarify. When they're saying exactly of that type, well, either we're doomed to an alcoholic death, or we're willing to live on a spiritual basis. Those were our alternatives. And my disease took me to a place where I got to a point where I really had no alternative, in the sense that my world was so small, my life was so miserable, and my disease was so in control of my doing and being every day. And it was just life of depression and misery. So what are they telling me here? They're saying there is another way. If I'm willing to consider, and I'm told that I must. That's a standout word right there. I must face the fact that here is the solution, and what am I going to do about it? And it does tell me, or else. What's that or else? Again, going back to the paragraph before, being doomed to an alcoholic death, or in my case, a compulsive overeating death, eating myself to death and into oblivion. Being so consumed by food that's all I thought about 24/7. But here they're saying, here's an answer. Just be willing and be open. And what is agnostic? It's without knowledge. So if I'm willing and open, I can be open to learning about this possible spiritual basis of life, learning about what it might be like to live differently. And I'm not alone, because there are many like myself who have walked this path and found a solution, because it's there for all of us. We just need to be open to it and believing that there is a God. And even though I don't know him, for me, it was a chance to get to know who that entity was that would help me and direct me in my life. And I'm so grateful that it has worked that way. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Penny Elsie. Who would like to comment on this, the third paragraph on page 44?
Roz G.
Roz
G. Janice
PM.
Irene
yes.
B.
Irene B.
Yes, Irene B.
Gotcha.
Darian K.
And one more.
Did you get
Does
Irene
M.
B?
Who was it that I get?
Irene B.
I did get Irene B. I got Roz G, Janice PM, Irene B, Nadia B. I can't read what I write down. Dana K? No, not Dana K. Goodness.
Darian
K. Thank you. Can't read my own writing. And I have time for one more. Who else would that be?
Des M.
Des M. Thank you so much. All right. So, Roz G., you're up first, and you'll be followed by Janice P. M. Please go ahead, Roz.
Good morning. My name is Roz G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in this beautiful city of Palmdale. This paragraph and few other paragraphs, if not several, in the big book sets my priorities. Now, I live, my religious background is Christianity, and there's scripture that says to me, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And it says here, we have to face the fact that we must find a spiritual basis of life. And then it says on page 100, which is my favorite page in the big book, and it's hard to pick a favorite because there's so many, when we look back, we realize that the things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have planned. So there's three examples for me this morning, at least, to put my priorities in line, and that is a spiritual life first. So that means the first thing in the morning, I have to get up and ask God, what am I going to do today? What am I going to be according to your will? I didn't have time to do those things back in the day when I was eating. I didn't want to do what God wanted me to do. I wanted God to show me how to do what I wanted to do in my way. And boy, has my life changed. All the plans and stuff that I want to do, God wants me to have filled with joy, peace, serenity, happy, joyous, and free, of course. But when it's in line with his will, and I get up in the morning and I ask him what he wants me to do, boy, do my priorities and my activities change. Things like, go see how your mom is feeling. Enjoy the fruits and vegetables that I have sitting on the tree out there, than, you know, all the junk that you used to eat. Or how am I going to, you know, react to something at work that bothers me? Well, if I'm prayed up and spirited up in the morning, not half the way I used to be. In fact, all I need to do is pause and he tells me what to do. It's changed my whole attitude. My priorities are God, spirit, spiritual basis. That's the springboard of which I dive into the pool of cool serenity, joy, and excitement sometimes too, but not excitement over the food. The food is rather rote. It's delicious.
Just a reminder.
Thank you. But my life is way more exciting than it used to be. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Roz G. Thank you very much. Janice PM, you're up next, followed by Irene B. Please go ahead, Janice.
Well, thank you so much again, Elaine. My name is Janice PM, and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. You know, I have to remember, you know, especially for those that are new, when you come to this coming step of step two, that it's very, very simple. It's not complicated. Of course, my thinking was quite different. I thought I had it made because I had a G-O-D in my life. And I thought, I got a head start. I already have a G-O-D, so I don't even have to, you know, work anything. I'll just believe that he... No. It doesn't say that. I misread this step for so long. First of all, I became so desperate after trying so many things, like most of us. So now I know that I'm powerless. That's the step. I'm desperate. It's step one. I have the inability to fix my problems, to manage my food, to manage my life. So what? So I missed this for that. It was supposed to tell me. And designed, this chapter was designed to prove the existence of G-O-D. And it's far from the truth. It doesn't say that. It says, came to believe. I just had to have a willingness to believe that there is a power. That's what it says, came to believe that a power. It doesn't say God. Doesn't say sponsor, it doesn't say a meeting, that a power greater than myself. See, I was always relying on myself, trying, all right, that didn't work, I'll get something else. Did I rely on a power greater than myself? I happen to call that power God, but I didn't have the same thinking about this power because I never relied on the power. I thought I was smart. I thought I was smart enough, I'll figure it out. Well, that's not what it says. And it says that power could restore me to thinking differently about food, about my allergy, about how I thought, my obsession of the mind. That's all it's telling us to do, is to open my mind, lay down the prejudices that I learned in grammar school about a God or whatever my thinking was. And just be open-minded. Don't be so closed-minded, Janice. I can remember somebody in college saying, Janice, you're very closed-minded because you couldn't tell me anything. What I thought was what I thought. That was it. You weren't going to change me, my thinking. But, oh, boy, did this ever change my thinking? It gave me the willingness to develop and turn into a faith. That there was a higher power. And this is the one. This is the power that guided me, guided my life. And when I make the decision, it's going to be brought through the 12 steps. And I do pass, and thank you so much.
Thank you, too, Janice PM. Irene B., you're up next, followed by Nadia B.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I am Irene B., a recovered bulimic, gratefully recovered bulimic from Louisiana. I am so thankful for the opportunity to share on this paragraph, on this chapter, a little bit of background. I have heard that your past is important. I have heard that your beliefs are important. there's a passage in this book that really one day recently, and I mean within the last 6 months, it struck me. It said that we had to throw away all preconceived notions out the window. And I knew God. I knew I adored God. I knew I was grateful to God in the mind of the adult, in the mind of my intellect and my heart. I love and appreciate God with all my heart, but yet I wasn't getting my spiritual experience. And then this thing about throwing away my old preconceived notions led me, all of a sudden I remembered that as a child, I used to pray to God. I wanted to be a good girl, and I wanted to have a relationship with God, and I wanted God to protect me, and I used to pray to Him to help me to make my life situation better, and I used to pray and pray and pray, and the answers never came. So I quit praying. I quit praying because it didn't make any difference. I knew there was a God, but that God was not interested in me. It's not that he didn't care about me, I don't know. But he was too busy taking care of much, much, much bigger problems than little old me. And then when I became an adult, he seemed to become very interested in me. I knew there was a God. I knew he was protecting me. I knew he wanted me to have the abundant life. But I had learned to be my own God, because I learned that in life I needed to be independent and self-reliant, because I had only me that I could ever count on. I was my own God, but I didn't know it. And I had to throw away all preconceived notions, so I purposely went out trying to explore and been talking to people and therapists and all kinds of different, I've been exploring. Okay, so as a child, I felt like God didn't care about me. But as an adult, I know he does. But how do I get closer to him? How do I unlearn to rely on myself and to rely on him? I didn't know how to do that. I tried. I've
Just
been
a
trying
reminder.
For years. Thank you so much. I didn't know how. And then my sponsor told me, the 12 steps will do it. And I didn't know how. And I've been doing the 12 steps, but it wasn't until I heard somebody here on these lines tell me how to get closer to God, to have a relationship with him all day long, not just when I pray, but throughout the day. I have to keep God close to me. And that's how I have the spiritual experience, by keeping him close to me.
And
how
reminder
do I do that?
A reminder. Time.
Oh, yeah. I'm so sorry. I thought I had set my timer, but I don't think it did. So anyways, I'll just say that with the 12 steps and keeping God with me 24/7, not just when I'm praying, has enabled me to get closer to him and to get his promises. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Irene B. Nadia B., you're up next. Followed by, I still didn't write your name correctly, Desiree, I believe it is. Okay, Nadia B., please go ahead, and I'm going to get your name straightened out. Thank you. Bye now.
Thank you so much, Elaine.
Thanks.
Oh, this is Nadia B., gratefully recovered in Connecticut today. You know, I'm just reading this paragraph and listening to everybody for the past 3 days. You know, I'm not here because of the love of reading this book. You know, I'm here because of the fact, the truth about my life, my attempts to prove that I don't belong here. All of them failed. Let me tell you, it's not the love of reading this book that made me call someone in whom the problem had been solved and back for some new ideas. Give me new ideas. I've ran out of ideas. The abstinence that worked just last week, you know, didn't work today. You know, I heard the heavy clicking of the doors of the prison, you know, locking up right behind me, and I couldn't go back. How come can I not go back? it, you know, the tools worked just yesterday. The abstinence worked just yesterday. How come I can't go to that, back to that? You know, what am I going to do now? You know, we, unfortunately, addiction doesn't leave me much of a choice. You know, when you're looking disaster straight in the eye, there's not much of a, you know, I'd like to do this. We must, or else, what else? Or else I'm nothing, going nowhere, a black dot, you know, stuck in a cycle of addiction. Without this power, I'm a zombie, walking dead. You know, I'm doing what's my mandated by my disease. So I don't know if there was much of a choice. It wasn't so hard. It's not so complicated. You see, I think it makes me laugh today. You know, you shouldn't be so confused, Nadia. It's not, God is not so difficult. You are. And, you know, you're either willing to live on spiritual basis or not. Again, it's not much of a choice. What is it to be? You know, let it go. Let it go. And it was so hard. And I don't know if I would survive it without someone else's guidance. And, you know, again, in whom the problem had been solved, and who had this experience with, you know, who wasn't as confused as I was and gave me some new ideas. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Nadia B. And Darian K., please forgive me for not being able to read my own writing. You are up next, Darian K., and you'll be followed by Des M.
Oh, thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Just great. Thank you.
Great, great. Hi, it's Darian K. In the Berkshires of Massachusetts. So grateful to hear everybody. I just wanted to chime in a little bit. When I first came to program in 1986, I heard people sharing a lot about, you know, higher power and God, and it was a little confusing to me. I didn't always understand how God could be possibly interested in my tiny little food problem, and he had wars and just big things, hunger and peace and all that kind of stuff to deal with. And also, you know, I was the most religious in my family, but not crazy religious. I was, you know, brought up Jewish, but once I was done, I was pretty much done at 13 when I got bat mitzvahed. And so it was, it just didn't occur to me that a higher power, that a spiritual basis for my food problem could possibly be a solution for me. And that's why the diets didn't work, because none of those have the spiritual piece. And that is why OA worked for me, because you know, my sponsor said, you know, just ask for help in the morning and turn your food problem over to whatever you picture as God. And someone in a meeting had once said, you know, to make God a practical God, you know, out a big, huge, untouchable, just unseen. Maybe make it a practical God. Make it, you know, think about something that could be practical. And really, God is in my heart, you know. I brought it sort of down to size where I could relate, and that was important for me. And every day I turn my will and my life over to God. And every day he gives me gifts that I really am so blessed to have. And they're not gifts in the way that, you know, they're shiny diamonds and beautiful things. They're just acceptance and peace, and, you know, serenity most days. And so, I'm just so grateful. I'm grateful that I had an open mind, I think is what it comes down to, an open mind to hearing people that shared and that went before me that said, you know what, just believe that we believe, or act as if, or do whatever it takes in the beginning to get what we have, and eventually it will come. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Darian K. And Des M., after we hear from you, we are going to open the line for more shares on
page 44, the third paragraph in We Agnostics, that begins with, but it isn't so difficult. So please go ahead, Des M.
Hi, good morning, Elaine. This is Des M., a recovering compulsive overeater from Long Beach. I'm just really humbled and grateful to be on the line this morning and to be hearing my solution and in the big book. And I just really wanted to share and get rigorously honest. I super relate to the first line, you know, but it isn't so difficult. It's not so difficult to make the choice to live on a spiritual basis or face the alternative and live in self-will and be in that prison. You know, and this last week, I was humbled by the power of my disease and the quickness that just the easy steps of doing daily inventories, sometimes, you know, one, sometimes five, when emotions came up for me last week on vacation. I did a couple 10 steps, but I was really now being able to look at it and inventory it, you know, just really sucked into image management and what people would think about how much time I was spending in my program. And it just goes to show that the only thing for me that I'm learning, like, is that connection between me and my higher power, you know, and being willing to do my higher power's will if I'm asking for it. And on Monday, I relapsed into the food, and, you know, I was exactly at that space when we were reading it yesterday, and, you know, and I chose to be in prison because I didn't get I wasn't using the tools as much as I needed to be, you know, and it just happened really fast. And luckily, like, by the grace of God, I didn't have to stay in the food. And I was in the food listening to vision, and it was insane. And so I just know that what I'm doing today, you know, I was acting completely agnostic, like there was my higher power, but I was behaving like I had to run the show, I had to make everyone happy, I had to look a certain way. And today I know that my solution, you know, I get to do the action, and my ego right now wants me to figure out what to do. And luckily, my God and hearing God through others is action, 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 do the inventory. You know, I'm in the steps. I'm being rigorously honest. And I'm just really grateful to have a solution today and be able to humbly share with you all that there is no solution in my alcoholic foods or behaviors. Thank you so much for letting me share. Have a beautiful day.
Oh, thank you so much, Des. Appreciate your honesty. All right, who would like to comment on the third paragraph on page 44 in We Agnostics?
Freedom H.
Freedom
Reggie
H.
O.
Reggie O.
Devorah S.
Devorah S.
Laura R.
Laura R.
Cindy D.
And Cindy D. I think that's all we have time for. So let's go with this and see how we do. I have Freedom H, Reggie O, Devorah S, Laura R, and Cindy D. Please go ahead, Freedom. You're followed by Reggie O.
Thank you so much for everyone. Thank you for allowing me to share. I tried to play God not knowing any better. I followed my ego because growing up, I didn't have an example of anyone who taught me to the 12-step program. All they taught me to do was shame and blame and deny. But I'm thankful for the 12-step program because I'm learning to develop a relationship with God. That's what the 12-step program does for me. It's helping me to develop that relationship because God, my higher power, my choice in my higher power is God, is the only way, my only help, my only hope. I'm completely weak without Him. And doing it on my ego does not work. I've tried it. It doesn't work. Or trying to do what other people tell me to do, it doesn't work. But, yeah, so I totally agree with all this writing that the only way is through God. You can sit there all day and argue and blame and deny and all that. It's not. It's like spinning your wheels and not getting anywhere until you get honest and real. Because, see, my higher power, who I choose to believe in, He created me. So He knows what I need, what I don't need. I think I created myself a need. My ego tells me that I don't need nobody, that I can do it on my own, that I'm all that. Well, I'm not. I'm not all that. And that's been proven over and over and over to me through my whole life. And I've watched people argue and then strife and fight over little things that don't even matter in life when there's more important things like orphans and starving children and, you know, me getting healthy so I don't drop dead of a heart attack is more important than all this little petty stuff of, oh, you did this wrong or you little, you know. But anyhow, this program's teaching me how to develop a healthy relationship with God and with all fellows, all people, humans, human beings. It's teaching me to be a human being. That's one thing, living with a sociopathic mother and being around people that were addicted in their addictions of their diseases, it was very toxic, very scary, very dangerous, very unhealthy. So, and I lived with many different people, so I experienced many different kinds of diseases. And, it was dangerous. So I love this stuff. I love everything about this program. I love everybody in this program. This program, I can't even say enough how much I love this program. And with that, Amia, thank you for letting me share all that.
Thank you, Freedom H. Reggio, you're up next, followed by Devorah S.
Thank you, Elaine, so much for your service this morning. This is Reggie O, very gratefully recovered in Woodland Hills, just outside Los Angeles. And this paragraph hasn't been such a big one for me before, but it sure jumped out this morning in a lot of ways. First of all, you know, I had to face the fact. I had to face the fact, you know, that I was being doomed to a compulsive eating death, you know, and not having had a weight problem for a very long time. That death for me was emotional. That death for me was spiritual. And I knew it. I could feel it, you know, and I have to come to face that fact. And, you know, and I have to take step one. The fact is step one. Everything I've done, I'm powerless, you know. There are things that I can't eat. I have an allergy. I have certain behaviors that I get allergic to that take me back to the food. And I also have an obsession that even if I go for a while without my alcoholic foods, that my mind is going to take me back and tell me it's okay, or that it's will be different this time, or without even thinking, you know, I'll put the whiskey in the milk. So I must find a spiritual basis for life. And this spiritual basis, you know, is the solution of this book. The steps, which enable, you know, what it says on the next page, us to find a power greater than ourselves, which will solve our problems, came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. Tells me first that I'm insane. I've finally gotten that. I was insane. It took me a long time to think that, you know, compulsive eating was insanity, but I've learned that. But the power, I was struck this morning because power is capitalized. And every reference to the higher power in this book is capitalized. I'm not, you know, me is not capitalized. Nothing else is capitalized throughout the book except that which, you know, focuses on the higher power that will restore us to sanity. So, you know, that I don't know why that just resonated so deeply with me, you know, because I've looked to find, you know, my higher power in sponsors. I've looked to find my higher power in programs. I've looked to find my higher power in so many places. You know, the solution is the working through of these steps and the most, you know, and they're really wonderful once we make that decision to go through with them. But that's what they're for, is to help me find that power that is greater than myself that will restore me to sanity and do for me what I could never do myself. And I find that in the rooms, you know, in the we of the rooms. And I do find that, you know, through other people sometimes. And I do find that here every single day. And yet it is that power that's underneath it all, that great reality that, too, I remember it's also in this chapter, that great reality that lives deep within me. And that is the power, you know, that I need to find, the one deep within myself. And then, you know, and I get to learn to see it everywhere. I get to see it in other people. I get to hear it in other people. I get to learn it through the book. And so just really grateful for that capital P this morning, which really sparked me. So thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Reggie O.
Deborah S., you're up next, followed by Laura O. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, and thank you, Elaine, for your service and everyone on this meeting that makes this possible. My name is Deborah S., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in New Jersey. And, you know, I like that line also, but it isn't so difficult. It isn't so difficult. Well, you know, I guess compared to putting down the food, maybe it's not so difficult. I know for me, you know, coming in and you know, being, you know, learning about the doctor's opinion and hearing about the allergy of the body, the obsession of the mind, and then, you know, really understanding, like, wow, that means that these are foods and behaviors that I can't partake in anymore. I need to abstain. I need to get that those substances out of my body and abstain from them so that I don't crave them. That was a hard pill to swallow. That was very, very difficult. And it took work, right? It took a lot of stuff. I mean, we're only right here in chapter 4 with the agnostic, where we're coming to believe that a power greater than ourselves. So the preceding chapters were telling us how difficult it is and reminding us, you know, that, you know, if you're still eating, if you're still binging, yeah, that's what it's like. And if you're not, then it's a good reminder, you know, what it was like before we got abstinent, right? So, you know, I have to keep my memory green about those days. But now, what's the deal? Now it's not so difficult now that we put the food down, and now we need to turn to get that higher power who's going to restore us to sanity. That's supposed to be the easy part. And the truth of the matter is, it's something that I work on every single day. It doesn't just come. I need to be taking these steps, steps 1, step 2, step 3, all these steps every day, because it's so easy for me to forget and run on self-will. And that's the beauty of this program, because it keeps me entrenched into what I'm, you know, keeps me remembering, keeps me focused that, you know, I'm just another, you know, another bozo here, trying to seek what God wants from me. And I don't know all the answers. And I'm just, you know, showing up today and seeking God's will, and to know that the power greater than myself is there and has the answers for me. And so I trust and rely, and I, you know, and I bring God in, and that's work. It's a lot of work, but thank God I'm not being blocked today by eating and binging. So I have my channel is a little bit more open than what it was when I first came in, and I'm not bogged down with all that other stuff. So really grateful for another day to practice this and to remember that I am powerless, and that God is there for me and has my back. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Deborah S. Laura R., you're up next, followed by Cindy D.
Thank you. This is Laura R., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater out of Colorado. Oh, my gosh. I'm just sitting here with chills and just so honored to be amongst all of you doing this together one day at a time. I remember when I first came into the rooms 15 years ago, I heard, you know, sit down, strap in, and you're going to go for an amazing ride. And I never in my wildest dreams thought that I would be in the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous 15 years later. And I am so incredibly grateful for that. I also heard don't give up until the miracle happens. And that happens every single day. You know, the person who was just speaking, I just ditto, because for me, like when I was reading this paragraph this morning, what came up for me was the how, you know, honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. And, you know, first I had to get honest about my disease. Yes, I admitted I was a compulsive overeater. That was not hard to like see. Once I took the bite took me. The problem was, and just like the person said before, is what ingredients, foods, and behaviors were taking me. And I was unwilling, like, okay, God, I put the sugar down, man, and the flour, been doing that. But you want to take my volume away? You want to take my coffee away? You want to take my decaf coffee away? Like, are you kidding me? Oh, that took me 3 years of just struggling to finally admit and come to my knees that I needed
you know, certain things, different programs to be able to, you know, weighing and measuring, you know, accountability around that. I had to go there. And, you know, and then finally also God did for me what I couldn't do for myself about the coffee, and he took that away. I just kept praying and praying. One day my stomach got sick and I couldn't drink it anymore, thank God, because that was a nightmare. I was in Starbucks three times a day. I was just, it was awful. And I couldn't call myself abstinent. I was using another substance. So once that all went down, that was awesome. And then I had to be open. And that's hard when you get raised in a certain religion all your life. Like, I just thought I knew. And it was like, oh, I got this. Like, you know, God, I got God. But, you know, I love God. Like, there was a former person talking about that, too. Like, I love God. I believe in God. I have even faith because I watched God do for me what I couldn't do for myself. But I wasn't rightly relating myself to God. I was doing God's work. I was working way too hard. I left no room for God. And when I finally got humbled enough, I ended up walking away from a program and then coming back. And within that 1 week, I was like, what am I doing? You know, and when I came back, and I didn't relapse, but when I came back, whatever I was doing, whatever I've been doing the last 15 years with my higher power is clearly not working. You know, I'm back at day one again. And what's ironic is that I almost had been, it was a year to the day that I entered into OA. And it was like, wow, a year later, I'm still at day one. I was just, the flag was up. And then I became open to whatever, like set aside everything I think I know about God.
And then,
thank you. And then God, you know, and then now I'm willing, you know, to do whatever it takes, which is going through the steps. And I'm just so grateful to be here. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Laura R. Cindy D., you're up next.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Cindy D., recovered compulsive overeater in Texas. And yeah, I was thinking back to, you know, over 30-some years ago when I first went to OA, and, you know, I started working the steps, but I didn't really buy into the God thing. And I struggled, and I ended up leaving very quickly. And then it took me 30 years to come back. And when I came back, I knew I was going to be facing this issue around God. You know, I had found myself walking away from him, turning my back on him, because I thought he had turned his back on me. And I came in, though, and I was desperate. I tried so much, and I became willing, and I quickly became to believe because I was able to get abstinent. And now I know in my heart and in my soul that God's with me and that God's protecting me and he's guiding me, and he is absolutely doing what I can't do for myself. I'm, you know, over a year abstinent now and almost at goal weight. And that is a true miracle. I mean, there's no way in my 63 years on this planet that I could have done that on my own. There has to be a God. And I'm grateful that today I know that in my heart and soul, that it's him, not me. And, you know, yesterday I was in a book study group. We're reading a book about the 12 steps, about spirituality, and it said that our efforts to control our lives are futile. And that is absolutely what I see when I look back over my life and all the attempts that I've made to try to control my weight and my food. And none of them worked. You know, I just kept going back, you know, gaining and losing over 100 pounds a number of times. And so I am definitely a compulsive overeater of the hopeless variety. And I like this last sentence. Our experience shows that you need not be disconcerted. And disconcerted means, you know, perturbed or confused or embarrassed. And I am not embarrassed to say that I came in as an agnostic. And I am today a compulsive overeater who believes in her soul, in a higher power, and his ability to do for me what I can't do for myself. I am grateful. I'm grateful that I found my way here. I'm grateful that we have these meetings and the place where we can talk about this and really relate on a gut, you know, intimate level about what it's like to live with this disease. And I find today that I need my higher power more than ever, because I'm working in another program that's bringing back memories and feelings, and they're coming on in a rush like ping pong balls at me. But they're strong. The feelings are so much stronger. And I get the food thoughts, but there's this little voice inside me that says, but remember. Remember what it was like, and remember what's going to happen if you pick it up.
Gentle reminder.
Thank you. And I'm able to not do it. And that's got to be my higher power. I call him Papa God. And I thank him every day. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cindy D. And thank you, everybody who shared today. The great meeting. We're now going to transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Kara L. please read a vision for you?
Sure. Good morning. My name is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.